We read from God's Word, Hebrews chapter 13. The letter to the Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and we will read the first 17 verses, 1 through 17. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. This is the word of God. We call your attention this morning to verses 7 and 8, this exhortation to all of us. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. We need to be reminded, congregation, of the fact that the office bearers given by Christ to the church are indeed a wonderful gift belonging to the very wonder of salvation itself. We witnessed a little while ago a marvelous evidence of the faithfulness of our covenant God. We read in the form a beautiful summary put together by our Reformed fathers and officially adopted by the International Synod of Dort 16, 18, and 19, and expressing as eloquently today as well as it has all through the several hundred years of its existence, the truth of the office of Jesus Christ. Christ continues to care for us. He continues to be with us and to provide for our need. He has given us again elders, rulers, and ministers of mercy. And we look forward to the time when he shall send us the man of his choosing to be the minister of the word in our fellowship. God himself has set them over us. They, or rather we should say Christ, through them, will show us, and he does show us, the way to glory. That, in sum, is the charge given them from God. These are my people, God says to those in special office. Show them the way into my presence. When they weep, comfort them. When they are sick or in trouble, minister to them. If they should wander or stray, admonish them. If they fall behind, go and bring them back. Take good care of them. They are my precious possession, so precious that I gave my only begotten Son to suffer the agonies of hell and death on their behalf. Remember them, therefore. Treat them as the servants of Christ who visits us and cares for us through them. That's the text as it stands in its context. Let your conversation, writes the inspired servant of the Lord, your manner of living, be without covetousness. Be content and confess with the saints of all the ages that great truth, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord who says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Remember them, therefore, the ones who have the rule over you. They speak to you the word of God. Follow their faith and pay attention to the goal of their manner of living. That goal being Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We must remember, according to the text, them that have the rule over us and who have spoken to us the word of God. Now, people of God, the original uses one word which is translated in the King James, those who have the rule over you. And that one word is leaders or guides. Those who go before you, who show you the way. And that certainly means that these have authority over us. They are our leaders, our guides, precisely as the ones called by God to rule over us. That's why we need to remember them. They are our rulers, which brings us to a very, very important part of the text, a question that needs a biblical answer. What is their authority, both now of the elders and deacons, though certainly especially of the elders? Let's consider the fact that it has nothing to do with natural superiority. We have a saying, it was a favorite of my late father's, "Cream rises to the top." In the world, it's brains and hard work or what have you, an extraordinary measure of gifts that bring a man or a woman to a position of authority. That's exactly what we call it, a notion of the world. Might makes right. Natural strength. One rules others because he has a mental, intellectual, or physical strength or superior ability. Let's understand that the elders of the church, our consistory, does not rule because it is more powerful than we are. It's not a matter of superior wisdom, nor is it based on the will of the majority. Yes, we have elections at the congregational meeting of those who were nominated by vote of the elders and deacons for the office. But the will of the majority is the notion of American democracy, not necessarily that of Holy Scripture, and certainly not that of the office of elder. The elders and deacons are not an authority because they have won a popularity contest. They're not in office because they happen to be liked by the majority of the congregation, and they ought not pay attention to popularity polls, public opinion, or what have you. All these things have nothing to do with authority in the biblical sense of the word. Authority is a spiritual, invisible power conferred on someone by God. That is authority. The right, the prerogative to rule in the way of declaring for others what is right and proper. And authority, the one in authority, must maintain the will of God as revealed in His Word and summed in His law. That's the authority of them that have the rule over you and me. That means, and let's never, never forget that, it has serious implications for both those called to rule as well as we who are called to obey God's word brought by them. What this means, first of all and fundamentally, is that our rulers are God's servants. And it's striking, people of God, it's striking that the New Testament especially uses, when it refers, I would almost dare say, always when it refers to the servants of God in office, it uses the Greek word for slave. Slave. There is a sense in which slavery is right and good and proper. Ministers of the word, elders and deacons, are slaves of Christ, and therefore of his people. We need to know that. We need to believe that. And we need to live that. We've had difficulties in the churches. Let's recognize those difficulties for what they are. When a minister or an elder forgets the fact, deliberately forgets the fact, that he is a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got problems. Big problems. Problems that have very serious consequences for the congregation. Read what the Bible has to say about scattering sheep. And when you read that, especially you who are in office among us, tremble in godly fear. Jesus will say to us who are in office someday, and don't think that I don't think about that as I get older. We're going to stand. I will too before the judgment seat of Christ, and he will say to me, "What did you do with my sheep? How did you handle them?" The authority is God's. That's the heart of the passage. He is God. He's the creator. He's the redeemer of his church. He is the ruler over all that he has made for the sake of his church. He conferred that authority upon Jesus, who is the Word with him in the very beginning, by and for whom all things were made, so that without him was not anything made that was made. Christ is the office bearer in God's house. He's the prophet who through this pulpit proclaims his word by means of what the world calls the foolishness of preaching to his saints. He's the priest who offered himself on account of our sins, and he's the king who rules with sovereign authority in the name of God. He declares what is right, and he is the judge of those who meet the standard. And he exercises that authority through those whom he calls in office through the church. And Christ also qualifies them. Yes, he does. Office bearers often are inclined to regard themselves as unfit and unqualified for office. I was called upon several times in the course of my ministry, and again only months ago, in fact about a year ago, to counsel men who were so concerned and so troubled by the thought that they weren't good enough and didn't have the gifts to function in office in the church, and yet who dared not turn down a nomination, thinking, rightly so, that it was from God. And I have seen some of those men weep, so upset they were. You know what? That's good. That's very good. God who calls, brothers in office, God who calls you, says to you, "Take care of my sheep." And as you do that, remember, my grace is sufficient for thee, so that you may confess with the one who called himself the least of all the apostles and members of the church, Paul himself, I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ who strengthens me. Servants, slaves of Christ. And that's the whole point. Christ is with us as our prophet, priest, and king. And so, men, that means you must speak to God's people God's word. The text doesn't say have spoken the word, but who speak to you the word of God, the ones who are doing that. When you go to visit God's people, for whatever reason that may be, whether it be on account of illness or sorrow or the fact that a member is walking in sin and wandering from the ways of righteousness, whatever, you come with God's word. You bring them the word. That's what the rulers in Christ's church do. They sound forth God's word. Therein is God's will. And that means spend a lot of time with the word of God and in prayer. Don't come with your own word. Don't come with your own wisdom. Don't think you have to have the answer and all the rest. No, come with but one thing alone. Thus saith the Lord. And when you do that, you must expect obedience. And you must insist on it. And we, people of God, when we hear the word of God, we must heed that word. That's the authority of Christ in the church. That's your calling, both you who rule and you who are ruled. Never forget that that church is the precious flock of Jesus. Be very careful how you handle them. Also the stubborn ones and the bulky ones. Or as Reverend Voss said to me once in a Dutch class, he didn't say it in Dutch, he said it in plain English, God puts a billy goat or two in every congregation to keep the preacher humble. He does that for the sake of elders too. Keep you humble. Bring them the word. And you as a congregation, receive the word and walk in the word. Remember these men. In plain words, obey them. Obey them. That's what it is to remember them. When they bring God's word, obey them. Don't ever forget them. Pray for them. Pray for them. They need that. Bring their need to the Lord in your family devotions. Your children need to hear that. The young people need to hear that. They need to hear father or mother in the absence of father pray for the elders and deacons and office bearers, ministers of the church. They need that. And the ministers and the elders and deacons need those prayers. Don't forget to pray for them. And heed the good word which they bring to you. How do you do that? Well, you follow, literally mimic their faith, what they believe. Oh, does that speak volumes to us in office? Does that speak volumes? The faith of Holy Scripture, the doctrine and teachings of the Word of God must be evident in the lives of the office bearers. They are the examples for the congregation as husbands, as workers, as fathers, and especially as office bearers in the service of Christ and in the service of the congregation. I say again, people of God, that makes every faithful office bearer tremble. God's people are called to follow them, to walk as they walk, to speak as they speak, to think as they think, to choose as they choose, and to serve the Lord as they serve the Lord. And you do that by considering the end, the goal, the purposeful goal of their godly conversation. And that end is Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same yesterday, Jesus our Savior. That refers especially to the moment of the cross where he purchased the flock with his own blood, where he was revealed as the mighty Redeemer who brought us by means of his suffering and in the power of his resurrection into the fellowship of God. And he's the same today. He loved me at the cross. He loves me still. And he blesses me with all spiritual blessings. Not one thing that he sends my way is against me. It's all for me. Even when he takes loved ones from my side and out of my fellowship into glory. He dwells in my heart through his Spirit and by means of his word. And through those called in authority in his church, he speaks his word to me and he tells me of his marvelous love, of his great faithfulness, of his mercies new every morning. And he's the same forever. He never changes. He's always my Lord, my Savior. That's why we need to remember all in authority over us. He called them people of God. He gives them the gifts. And in all their conversation, he enables them to walk as examples before you in teaching, in preaching, in ruling, in comforting the flock, and in living an exemplary Christian life. Remember them then, and once more, pray for them, thank God for them, obey them as they bring you the good word of Jesus. And their experience, the wonderful, wonderful blessing of God. The flock is preserved in the midst of the world. The word is preached and heard in all its truth. And peace and blessing, the peace and blessing of God himself rests upon us. We're knit together in the abounding love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and God is glorified also here in Trinity Church. God grant it. Amen. Father, we thank thee for thy word. In all its riches, in all its power and beauty, we thank thee. We thank thee for our office bearers. Bless them. Qualify them as thou hast promised to do, and grant that they may bring to us thy good word and also exemplify that word in their godly life, and that we may remember them prayerfully and obey the word they bring for Jesus' sake. Amen.